All right, this is Pure Decking for January 23rd, 2015. This is a show about the stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and hoping that there's still at least one sane person left in the world, because God knows, not on this panel. Morps, tonight we have the Madman. What are you drinking, Madman?
I'm drinking Bacardi 151 mixed with Rose's Appletini over ice.
Bug it!
All right, what are you drinking?
Oh, man, I'll quit the sauce. I'm off 100%. Check myself into rehab tomorrow. And no, actually, I'm getting a beer in a minute.
So, who are you and what are you done with? Like, is it time for the pod people invasion again? And we have Static, who hasn't been on the show in forever. Static, what are you drinking?
Woodford's Reserve with a splash of Coke.
Good man. Well, a little bit of Coke in there, I don't know.
Well, it's technically on the side. But...
Ah, good man. Yeah, I'm pouring myself shots of Red Stag, so off that bottle tonight, I'm rather positive. So, no station news to speak of. Website's still horribly out of date. I am busy. So, I'll get to that someday. Anyways,
dude, still got episode 170 up.
Yeah, we're on 176 now, I think.
Yeah. I just checked.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, this week I've had it work, man. Not even going to go into that. So let's just hop straight into the discussion topic. Free speech is doomed, in case anybody didn't notice.
Our lost century, dude. People just want to feel safe now.
Yeah, they just don't want to be offended anymore.
Yeah, there's that too. So,
that's my shiny white ass.
What do you polish it with?
I can't say shiny. On the air.
Nice. All right. So, the first story I got here is from The Hill on this. I've got the whole thing here. I don't think I really need the whole thing. Barrett Brown, a freelance journalist and activist, was sentenced Thursday to 63 months in prison in Texas after pleading guilty to charges including transmitting threats, being an accessory to a hack, and interfering with a search warrant, according to multiple reports. The trial raised questions about how the government prosecutes cybercrime, and sentencing is likely to draw ire of the digital rights community. All charges stemmed from a 2011 incident in which the hacktivist group Anonymous reportedly stole credit card numbers and other personal data from security firm Stratfor. Brown, who closely followed the group, published a link to a forum with stolen information, which got the FBI's attention. So he linked to a pastebin or something, right? And charges followed. They ranged from identity theft to making internet threats against government officials and YouTube videos. So they got him. Part of his plea deal, I guess, is he had to give a statement. What did he say? Yeah, because the government basically says by posting the hyperlink, he was making data available to people online that he did not have the rights to distribute. That was their... He posted a flipping link.
And it was a story about the hack, I believe.
Yeah. So, where's the statement he made? The videos were idiotic. He said, likewise, I did not have the right to hide my files from the FBI during a lawful investigation. Did not have the right to hide my files from the FBI. I just... Something about the way that's phrased bothers me. I can't quite put my finger on it. Yeah, the fact the government still has asked you to punish me for that link is any proof that we need... Yeah. Okay, you know. So, anyways, he's already served 28 months in prison, so he's got to finish out, you know, I think it's 3 more years was the math. And he also owes $890,000 in restitution fees for posting a link and some stupid YouTube videos.
Wow.
I think what it is they couldn't catch anybody who did the actual hack, so they punished this guy instead.
Yeah, but he linked when he was doing a story on the hack to something that was already publicly available.
Yeah, he's a freelance. He's a freelance journalist, a blogger, pretty much, and he was following anonymous and just, you know, posting information about them.
Guilty by association.
Pretty much, actually.
Yeah, but sad.
But as a journalist, you're meant to be objective, so you can't be associated with him. Unless he's a gonzo journalist, and there he could be. So.
Go ahead, man.
You gotta think the reporting on Deep Throat when it came to Watergate, those journalists were associating with a criminal.
Well, my problem here, I mean, yeah, the whole reporting aspect of it, it's annoying. But my real problem here is now we have precedent. You can be charged for distributing data by posting a link to it. So, like streaming sites, you can go after the owners of streaming sites for content that they don't host because they link to it. Things like Reddit or Google can be held responsible for the content that they link to. Tell me that's not a scary concept.
I just think it's a thinking man's precedent there, where if you're going to own a website or anything like that, make sure you're out of your state, United States jurisdiction.
Seriously, how did somebody tell me how I'm misunderstanding this? They have essentially said if you link to content, you are responsible for that content.
Yeah. If you throw up a link up to anything, you're responsible for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's right there. That's the death of user content on the internet. That's turning the internet into a closed loop system, just like movies, cable TV, anything else where, you know, the only way to get content out is to be a big company that can afford the distribution network. Am I wrong?
Sound of everyone agreeing.
Yep.
And it's been going this way for a long time, man. You're the first, you've been saying this for years. Just another link in the chain of the controlling circle.
I'm certainly not the first, I'll know that, but...
No, I know. Well, hang on, Morps had the idea first, then told someone else, so he's the original culprit, so he's the one who should go to jail.
Damn it!
I like this idea.
So, you know, along the same lines here, in case anybody missed it, and I've got another story about this later, Obama agreed with David Cameron that there should not be conversations that the government can't listen to. Period.
They can listen to every conversation. You just need to get a fucking warrant first.
Well, they were justifying it by saying they need to get a warrant to do it. But they're specifically talking about encryption. They're saying that all encryption should have a government backdoor.
That defeats the purpose of encryption. Yeah. Build a backdoor into it. It's not going to stay with the government. Someone else is going to find it, and then it's worthless.
So, well, things like what Apple and Google have done with, you know, encrypting by default the smartphones, that would effectively be illegal if they had their way. Like, no, you cannot build a system that you cannot give the government access to. Any data system, you'd have to build in the backdoor for the government.
And you're building a backdoor for everyone. You're just hoping only the government uses it. No, that's not secure.
Again, going back here, you don't have, won't be able to have conversations at all. Really, I mean, you have to assume everything you post is monitored. It's going to be just like where, you know, I remember a few years ago on the show, I was recommending if people insisted on using like Facebook and LinkedIn, you know, to do things with their friends, they keep two accounts, the ones they want their boss to see and then the ones they use for stupid shit. It's the exact same thing, except now you shouldn't even keep the stupid account. You should only treat everything you post on the internet as though it's being recorded 24/7 and that, you know, everyone you know of any importance is going to see it.
It's been that way for years, though.
That's true, but...
I mean, and that's
just
how
it's
I live.
It's just coming
I
to
mean...
a head. You have to.
I think it'd be hard for someone to transition out of it who's been, you know... Facebook, you know, that shit for years and years, but people like us would have been doing it naturally, so...
What about assholes on Snapchat who are, like, sitting there flashing their junk to people all day long? I mean, not Snapchat, what was that? The random chat room
Chat Roulette.
Chat Roulette. Yes.
I'm still banned from there.
So, you know, I mean, so you're going to have the government coming after you and shutting crap down, and even if it's not outlawed, like Madman was saying earlier, you know, we're going to have self-censorship between political correctness and monitoring and the offended. So
I don't know. I'm sort of looking forward to it.
I use the same philosophy with a gun. If I'm willing to put something on the internet, you know, I should be willing to take the consequences of whatever happens, whether I offend someone, whether it's illegal, whether whatever. You know, if I take a gun, I point it at someone, I'm ready to pull the trigger.
Well, there's some truth to that, but a lot of the offending someone comes from the Tumblr crap where it's just they're constantly offended no matter what you post. It's like that post I found the other day where the guy was offended because that what was like sports mascots don't respect furries or some absolute asinine bullshit
they
like
were
that.
They were misappropriating the culture.
Yeah, it's just like you cannot take these people seriously, and if you do, you're done. But it's getting to where you don't have a choice anymore. It's just getting shut down. So,
my only problem with the everyone's being offended culture that we're moving into is it's shutting down debate. I like having discussions with people. And if we're discussing something and one of us gets offended, fine. I said something that offends you. Point out where I'm wrong and we'll move on.
If people get offended over the dumbest shit, Madman, that's the issue.
Well, how can you have a rational conversation with the guy talking about the furries versus sports mascots? I mean, I don't know. How do you have a rational conversation with that person?
Well, some people just aren't rational, and I don't have conversations with those people.
Pickup truck, a long rope, and about 90 miles an hour.
But sentencing people to prison because you're reporting on a story, getting back to what we were originally discussing, it can't have a functioning democracy. It can't discuss the news. Now, whether he agreed with what Anonymous was doing or not, he's still reporting on it. How can we discuss what they're doing and the perils of anything that's going on if you have to worry about being thrown in jail for writing a story for a news organization?
Here's a way to keep yourself a little safe. Where the dot is, like say it's 4chan.org or whatever, you know, then just write the words dot in brackets and leave it there if you want to link it. Let the reader work out where it is. Don't hyperlink it. That well, makes you any safer?
No, it doesn't, because courts don't work on, you know, technicalities. Well, kind of. Mostly they go on intent. You know, was your intent to harm someone? I don't know if I kept the story in or not, but apparently there Obama has proposed updating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, and one of the things he was putting in there was intent of use versus what you were allowed to do in a system, or what you had access granted to do. So, like, if your employer only intended you to use a computer for work purposes and you knew this and you went started doing personal things on it, that was, you know, you were intentionally violating your... So, you know, you still gave them enough information to get the link, so your intent was to distribute the information, thus you're a, you know, accessory to a hack or whatever it was they charged him with.
Well,
did they at least argue
way.
That you didn't need to distribute the information in order to cover the story? He could just say, and Anonymous has compromised this many systems.
Pixar, it didn't happen when it comes to news, my friend. 38 people were killed. Show me evidence. I thought that's how news had to work. So, you know, this guy has been jailed for the wrong reason.
Here's the quote from the prosecutor. By transferring and posting the hyperlink, Brown caused the data to be made available to other persons online without the knowledge and authorization of Stratfor and the cardholders, the department said after Brown's indictment. So what they're saying there is They're literally charging him with distributing information that he did not have the rights to distribute. Piracy, basically. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get it from Stratfor. He got it from a different source. So
he got it from Pastebin or wherever it was dumped into.
Well, he was actually, I think he was posting the link back to, you know, I think it was a Pastebin post, but yeah, he was posting the link back to that. And so they're charging him with distributing this information. But if you think about it, that's, doesn't that shut down a large part of journalism? Because I thought freedom of the press protect you. Once you got information, if you did not acquire the information illegally, you could do whatever you wanted with it. Am I wrong?
But they still can come after you for your source.
Ah, well, I mean, he posted the source. That's, there's the source. Mm. See, there's the link.
But aren't there some people saying that he was affiliated with Anonymous?
Yeah, I think what it was is he was the only one they could figure out and put an identity to.
Then there's no
charged him with everything.
Was he a member of the group?
Yeah,
he says no. He says
that's what it comes down to.
Is if he was a member of the group or an associate of them, you know, participating within things they do, then his whole idea of freedom of press is out the window because he's no longer objective.
Well, he's. I don't know that you have to be objective to be a journalist anymore. I've seen TV. But well,
not as much objectivity. If I'm interviewing somebody who just robbed a bank, then I'm a reporter. If I'm in the group while they're planning to rob the bank, I'm an accessory and a member of the bank robbing crew. Even if I'm not taking part, I'm just reporting on it.
Well, he was, if I remember the story right, because I know this isn't the only article on it, this has been going on for a while. He said he was not a member of Anonymous, but he supported what they stood for.
Okay, well then, you can support them so long as he wasn't actively involved in the hack.
And he claims he wasn't. He was just, you know, posting a link he had found. I would imagine somebody in Anonymous probably gave it to him.
I can leak proof of my illegal activities to reporters. They're still reporting on them.
So what did he actually plead guilty to?
Posting the link and posting stupid YouTube videos, because apparently in some of his YouTube videos he made vague threats against government officials. I don't think he even specified which ones. He just said things like the government and, you know, like that.
Oh, God, I've said the government a dozen times. I think I've even quoted people.
He may have called out people in the videos. I don't actually remember. Now, I do remember he posted some really dumb YouTube videos, though. So, and he admits, that was stupid. But, I mean, it's also irrelevant because you can tell. Yeah, I would say, for the most part, that kind of stuff, it's fairly obvious that they're not, what's the phrase, credible threats? I mean, just saying stupid shit and supporting Anonymous.
I'm thinking the financial damage that he's going to be going through far outweighs the months in prison.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's almost $1 million.
For posting a link.
Before you post, kids.
Oh, shit.
I'm hoping that precedent doesn't spread past Texas.
Well, I mean,
no,
this was
a federal court, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
In Texas.
Yeah, that was federal.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, that's what scares me most about this, is that's a legal precedent. That posting a link is considered disseminating information.
Didn't they go after Google on this?
Yes. That was my point when I opened.
Google have got better lawyers.
Yeah, Google's got better lawyers.
And they've also got the ear of half of Congress.
Well, now here's the thing, though. If you think about this in the terms of the story, so you set this precedent. Oh, okay, I post a link. Oh, good example. I post a link on the Galaxy 15 page for a story I do in decking, right? Well, what happens if they change where that link posts? Goes to after I've posted it. Now, granted, in the case of this of the station, there's a date attached to when I actually posted the show notes, right? Just in, because we use WordPress and it posts a date of when we posted it. But how hard would that be to defend yourself against? Like, oh, well, we changed, you know, the link you posted earlier was a news story. Now it's, you know, all this information because the website was hacked. And, oh, you've posted a link to it. I mean, this gets dangerous quick.
So part of his sentencing was a 12-month sentence for a count of accessory after the fact of the crime of hacking Stratford. The sentence was enhanced by Brown's posting of a link in chat and possessing credit card data. So he actually was in possession of the data.
Well, yeah, he probably saved it off the website to preserve it in case the original went down.
I mean, that's guilty by association. That's true. He actually has it.
Yeah, instead of it just being on Pastebin and him reporting it and showing the link, it's also stored on his hard drive.
Yep.
That's true.
He hasn't made good decisions, let's just face it.
That's absolutely true. I'm more worried about the precedent this is setting than the actual guy, because he's not helped himself, let's put it that way.
Well, it comes back down to, you know, in the end, like I said, are you truly going to accept what you do? I mean, if you're going to do stupid stuff, expect, you know, that you're going to probably have some consequences to it. May not be jail time, you know, might be somebody coming and beating the crap out of you because you're a moron. But,
well, doing stupid stuff, I believe you should face the consequences of your actions. But was it really wrong for him to post a link in his story to Pastebin?
I think probably it all came, the link was not what got him. I think probably after looking up a little bit more, digging here, just, you know, in the brief 2-3 minutes I've been doing it, probably the fact that he actually possessed the information as well as his stupidity of governmental, you know, slander.
I'm fine with the governmental slander. I see the if he actually downloaded the information onto his computer, they could say something about that. Like, you're doing more than reporting. You might be trying to save the integrity of your information, but you're also stealing people's identity.
Yeah. I think it just became a complete, you know.
I think somebody wanted to make an example out of him, and he didn't help his case, and that's what happened. So. Anyways, let's move on to the news stories, because they're just as painful. First one up is from CNET. Illinois can't seem to decide whether it's... I've had like 5 shots of bourbon now, so just can't seem to decide whether it's the home of Midwestern gentlefolk or the most draconian humans this side of Moscow. I don't know. I think we've got some people out there worse than the Russians when it comes to draconian. One of the state's newest laws, for example, may have goodness at its heart. However, it may have something else in various of its extremities. The law, which went into effect on January 1, is designed to curb cyberbullying, but it could also encourage schools to pry into students' personal lives. It's making parents deeply uncomfortable because one of its stipulations is troubling. This week, Illinois parents began receiving a letter from school authorities informing them that their children's social media passwords may now have to be handed over as part of school discipline. One of the letters reads in part, school authorities may require a student and or his or her parent/guardian to provide a password or other related account information in order to gain access to his or her account or profile on a social networking website if school authorities have reasonable cause to believe a student's account on a social networking site contains evidence that the student has violated a school disciplinary rule or procedure. So that right there, if we think you violated a school rule ever, we get your password.
But I didn't violate the school rule on Facebook. I violated it at the school. Find your evidence there.
Yeah. Yeah, the exception only applies to school computer. To school computers and activity and scrimmage. Oh, right. They're saying it does not. It's the school can ask for passwords and search on the basis of any posting by a student at any time in any place. And the person who gets to decide reasonable cause is apparently the superintendent of the school. Criminal charges under this law if you don't comply.
Criminal charges?
Criminal charges.
Wow. Oh, I'm just going to have my kids, like, here's the password we're giving to your school. I've already got your fake Twitter handle and everything. Oh,
welcome
God,
to public
that's
schools.
Terrible law.
I have hours that I could talk about how stupid public schools are, especially Common Core state public schools. I won't, because it would piss people off, and it pissed me off. My blood pressure is already raising. However, I will say this. The morons that make these rules really, really need to have somebody go in and just smack the crap out of them and teach them law. There's no way that this can be legal.
Well, just not even law, just right and wrong. The school controls what happens on school ground. Once the kid leaves, it's no longer the school's concern. And they've been passing stupid rules like this forever. When we were in high school, if athletes got caught drinking outside of school grounds, outside of school time, they could be kicked off the team. That was stupid. It's not up to the schools to police what children do outside of the school. It's up to the parents.
And that's where it comes back around to, you know, the school is taking over parenting, and it's not a actual parents' responsibility any longer. Because, let's face it, in this day and age, parents are morons. At least the majority of them are. When it comes to disciplining their own child, that's why we have so many idiots.
Well, there's some truth to that. But just to clarify, I was skipping around a bit in the story a little bit. The superintendent of the school was a woman. And I just want to clarify for Static, because I know this is what he thinks. He's not advocating violence against women. He's advocating violence against idiots.
Of course. If it's a woman, she gets the same thing if it's a man. If
equal
you're an
opportunity
idiot.
Beatdowns.
That's right.
I'm going to just sit over here now.
Yeah. It's
they
not
don't
up to the school to police
you clarified
Facebook.
Yourself.
Well, here's the other side of it, though. Okay, and I'll give you just a brief on the Common Core side. It's not just because they're cyberbullying. Yeah, sure, that's one aspect of it. And I'm all for making sure that kids are safe, you know. That's fine. You know, we don't want cyberbullies. However, with the Common Core, every kid is assigned a number. This number
but
follows
static
from...
That's all we did in high school.
Wait, what?
All we did was pick on other people through the computer in high school, dude.
Yeah, but anyways. the kids are given a number at kindergarten. That same number follows them all the way through school, okay? They're going so much, and I know this firsthand because my daughter was in kindergarten at a public school. We just pulled her and put her in private school. She was given a number and walked into the lunchroom. She had to punch her number in order to get food. The school gives free lunches. All the kids get free lunches, no matter your income, anything. The entire school was on free lunches. Why the hell does she have to put in her number?
Make sure she gets her free lunch and not another kid's free lunch.
And then turns around, goes on the computer, has to punch in the same number. 3 days worth of testing for a kindergartner in the first semester of school. What?
I think that's just so they don't have to make new Active Directory accounts for all their students every year.
I'm all fine and dandy in having them have a login to get into their system, you know, if they have specifics. But this is beyond just an Active Directory account. This is beyond just computer access. This is all levels that they're deep diving. All this data is being stored in a warehouse. Yeah, it gets scary. I have links. Tons and tons of links about this stuff.
Well, be careful posting them. You could go to jail for 5 years.
I could.
You're watching. I bet your daughter has the same number on her driver's license when she gets old enough.
You're absolutely right. You're probably right. I mean, it's getting so bad that it's getting to the point to where, and this, I pray and hope this doesn't happen, but this is where it's headed. We are making people be, you're a garbage collector, you're a doctor, you're a veterinarian, you're a homeless man. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
There's a perfect good reason for that, though. The things we're using right now, they're making us all obsolete very slowly. So we've got to have somewhere for the excess masses of morons to be categorized and placed.
Well, as long as it's like they don't pick out the class, okay, we're going to move all of these students into this class, and we're just going to replace
this teacher with a warden.
It's already happening. And we're not even going to bother with the court system. We're just going to take this class straight to jail.
You know, I know of schools that they round up the idiot kids on testing day and go, you got a field trip coming. And they all get to go play a park for a day so that the school gets better funding for the next year and looks better.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, that was happening when we were in school, dude.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I never got any fun field trips. Now I feel left out.
No. So I know, me too, but everybody has that kid.
We had 4.0 grade point averages in high school, guys. Come on.
No, I'm talking about the people that got sent off to the alternative school.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even the littlest, there's people that I know personally that went there that, you know, shouldn't have. You know, one little issue and, yeah, off you go.
Oh, yeah, no, we know several people that happened to, but... I know of one certainly who probably didn't deserve it, and I know of a couple who did. So,
well, of course, yes. There's definitely something. Those are the morons. Those are the Barrett Browns.
Okay. This numbering thing, in a way, I can see it's a good thing, but in a way, I can see it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong.
I just see schools attempting to place things outside of school as being completely wrong. That is up to the parents or whoever's in charge of the child at the time.
George, the number they're assigned today for lunches will be their internet number as well. And you know, something will happen. Do they get their number get polled? You know, the psychologist will go through their entire history and decide what sort of punishment or corrections they need.
Well, can you imagine that at the job interview? Well, see, here in second grade, you were taking a shit in the teacher's desk. I don't think we're going to hire you.
Well, you know, talking about that, this is the last thing I'll say on maybe not. But anyway, I'll say this on Common Core. They were getting ready to implement, I don't know if it's going to be here where I live, but it will come. This is just like the first year they're doing Common Core here. They're implementing... kids' attention span tests.
Yep.
So they're giving them, I don't know if it's I think it's device driven, and they're going to be implants and seeing what kids' attention spans are.
I'm sorry, Timmy, the computer says you have ADHD. Take your drugs.
Exactly.
What it's for, man. It's advanced long-term profiling.
But back to
this is how you assure that the dude doesn't shoot up the fucking office. You know, because he was pissing himself in year 3 and was breastfed till he was 12. Yet he's come across as a complete normally adjusted person when you hired him. But something triggered his social and he went fucking mental. You know what I mean?
Oh. Yeah, I think back to your story, I think one thing is for sure. If it's on a school computer, I think they have full reign at that point. I mean, it's absolutely. The same thing as at work. If you do it on work property, they have full reign to whatever you go to.
Actually, if you bring a device, and this is because I do corporate IT security, if you bring a device and connect to a network, I pretty much have full rights to anything that leaves or enters that device, even to the point of asking you not to run specific software.
I would just fuck your world, man. I would fuck your world.
And port off. Anyways. no, I'm serious. That's how I handle that shit. I don't even fight with them. I'm just like, oh, okay, fine. Access off. Next.
I
don't care.
You have the rights to what comes in and out. You don't have the rights to what is on their device.
Correct.
Yeah, just clarify.
And if they are running something that is causing a problem network-wise, I can ask them not to run it. In other words, I don't want that traffic leaving your computer. The most expedient way is to not run that program.
Yep.
But so, that's still on their property. Schools can police what happens at school. If your kids are being asshats at home, it's up to the parents to fix that.
Well, that's what leather belts and the paddle off that paddleball game are for. Oh, wait, no, you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Wii Remote has a great cable system. Just saying.
Just nunchuck the kid.
I've seen a dad do it, man. Oh, yeah.
We've gone from beatings to strangulations now. Awesome.
Oh, no. He's like the little kid's being, like, his son's being an absolute dick to his sister. He's like, give me the remote. Give me the Wii Remote. Grabs it. Grabs the cord, you know, the little mouse looking bit with the thumb controller on. Just whips it straight at him. Classic, man. The kid had a little thumb controller bruise for a week.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Parenting,
I might
doing
have to
it
use
right,
that next time.
Leaving one mark at a time.
I thought that's what the oranges in a sock were for.
No, that's to prevent the marks.
That's later on for your spoiled daughter.
Bag of sweet Valencia oranges.
Okay, let's go on to the next is from the AP.org. Let's just keep that blood pressure good and high. The government's health insurance website is quietly sending customers' personal data to companies that specialize in advertising and analyzing internet data for performance and marketing, the Associated Press has learned. Excuse me. The scope of what is described or disclosed or how it might be used is not immediately clear, but age, income, zip code, whether a person smokes, and if the person is pregnant is confirmed, or it can include. It can include a computer's internet address, which identify a person's name or address when combined with other information collected by sophisticated online marketing or advertising firms. The Obama administration says healthcare.gov's connections to data firms were intended to help improve customer experience. Officials said outside firms are barred from using the data to further their own business interests. How would you know? I mean, they're already correlating this data with other data they had. So how would you know?
It's building up a giant complex psychological profile of their target audiences.
There is no evidence that personal information has been misused, but connections to dozens of third-party tech firms were documented by technology experts who analyzed healthcare.gov and confirmed by AP. A handful of the companies were also collecting highly specific information. That combination is raising concerns. Lawmakers on Tuesday asked the administration to explain it. This new information is extremely concerning, said Orrin Hatch. Created under the president's healthcare law, healthcare.gov is an online gateway to government-subsidized private insurance for people who lack coverage on the job. So, long story short, government makes people go through healthcare.gov to get insurance if they don't have insurance through their job, and then turns around and starts giving their data to data mining companies. Literally, what the fuck?
Gorgeous.
I want people to be indicted for this.
I want people to exercise RU pickup truck and rope idea earlier because of this.
I'm fine with companies selling your data if you have a choice of not doing business with that company. Like Kroger's little shopping cart thing they do. I don't have to use that. I don't have to shop there. So they can do whatever they want with the data they collect. The government is forcing me to do this. I have no say in who's possibly using this data, so the government should keep it just for themselves and restrict it to just the government seeing it. No private companies. Because if you don't have the choice to do business with someone, they shouldn't be able to hand your shit out to everyone.
Just a small start of it, madman. Like, what next? Are they going to be doing your medical files? Just the non-surgeries, just, you know, noting how many doctor's visits you've had this year.
Depending on what they're releasing, they already are sending that out. Healthcare.gov knows how many doctor's visits you've gone to. You have to tell them if you have any illnesses.
Are they selling that part of the information, though? Well, giving it
doesn't say. It literally says we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think, what information are they getting? They're getting income. They're getting what illnesses or pre-existing conditions you have and where you live. Those are things that medical companies are going to want to know. Those are things that insurance companies want to know and advertisers want to know. Oh, you're a smoker? What brand do you smoke? We want to know that so we can send you advertising and sell you cigarettes.
And you want to bet Domino's sells their delivery lists?
Uh-huh.
I'm cool with that. Does. I don't need to do business with Domino's. Literally, I have another choice. I don't have to have a pizza delivered. I don't have to have a pizza delivered by that company. The government is forcing people to go onto this website and use this product. So they need to keep that information secure.
You don't have to go there. You can pay the fine.
How much is the fine?
No.
Depends on how much you make.
You haven't seen a recent judicial... Okay. There's been a court ruling on companies. A lot of small businesses were just saying, okay, we're not going to provide insurance because the fine is cheaper. There's been a ruling, now you can also be sued and taken to court in criminal actions for making the choice of paying the fine rather than providing insurance. That can be applied to individuals. So you can choose to pay the fine, and then the government can come in and say, okay, that's not enough. Here's the rest of the money you're paying us.
And what if you just refuse to pay the fine, refuse to pay anything?
Here's your jail time.
How long do you go to jail for? Because in jail, they have to give you health care anyway.
Hadn't come up yet.
But hey, I'm just thinking of a circle way around this, man, where we come back to the start and I don't lose anything.
By the way, Borden, I have cancer.
They've already started going after businesses who have decided to pay the fine instead of providing health care. If that's allowed, they can also go after individuals. So yeah, you're being forced to go through this process.
Yeah, it's because you're not playing the game. You're supposed to participate in the system.
Yeah, but I stopped playing last year. Leave me alone. If you refuse to play, how can they make you?
Because they have guns. They can come to your house and they can shoot you. They can also round you up and stick you in a padded room.
And I win because I'm dying earlier. I'm paying less taxes. They don't get to punish me. Win, fucking win, the way I'm looking at it. You breathers and livers. I think it's life things, everything. All about sticking it to the man in any way possible. If that means an early death, I'm doing it.
You always played undead in World of Warcraft, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Certainly did.
The thing though, Madman, is that it's not that they're not going after people right now.
They're not going after individuals yet. They're currently going after companies because they're larger
that
targets.
Aren't providing possible insurance. Okay, so it's people that you know.
It's the same logic that you're going through. Companies have looked at it. How much does it cost to provide health care for these individuals? How much is the fine? We're going to pay the fine because that's an option that's been given to us. If the government decides that they can go after companies because they've made that choice and the law gives them that choice to pay the fine or provide health care, they can then go after individuals.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's still the same choice. The law still provides the same options. They might not go after individuals simply because they're smaller targets, or they might wait a long time before they do it. But if the government decides that they can go after companies that have made that same logical choice, then they can go after anyone who makes that same logical choice.
Well, look at it. 10 more months, maybe we won't have a moron in office. Wait a minute. We always have a moron in office.
It's just less stupid. There's degrees of stupidity. There's always going to be a stupid person as president. I'm hoping we get a libertarian stupid person. They
Speaking
seem
of,
to be the least
be nice.
Stupid of all.
Speaking of, next story from computerworld.com. At face value, improving cybersecurity sounds like a great move, except that better cybersecurity hygiene includes embracing encryption, not outlawing it. Last week, Obama went on record about encryption, claiming if we find evidence of a terrorist plot, and despite having a phone number, despite having a social media address or email address, we can't penetrate that, there's a problem. That means he agrees with British Prime Minister David Cameron's statement that there should be no means of communication which we cannot read. However, Obama didn't go so far as to mention requiring backdoors to be built into applications. In Cameron's full statement, he actually did. The president's comprehensive approach to enhancing consumer security, tackling identity theft, and improving privacy online and in the classroom includes cybersecurity information sharing between the government and the private sector. Anybody ever notice that's only one way? That information sharing is always you give the government information and then they give you the finger. It's basically an updated version of the president's 2011 cybersecurity legislative proposal. The EFS suggested the recycled proposal is unnecessary. Obama's proposed legislation really gets worrisome when you dig a little deeper into the updated law. And there's links to PDF in the story. The revisions of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which extend the maximum penalty for computer crime violations from 10 to 20 years in prison. So that guy who just got 5 years in prison, they could double it. And it could potentially scare off security researchers from finding flaws and things so shit doesn't get fixed. But that's not all he's doing. Basically, this Enhanced Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, it takes intent of your usage versus what usage you've been permitted, and things like sharing passwords. Like if you share a Netflix password with somebody, that violates Netflix intended use and you could be charged as a hacker. And of course posting links. This new law is scary, man, because it's basically going to shut down the internet, because you won't be able to use it without just, you know, potentially exposing yourself to all kinds of crap.
No, that's just going to allow for selective prosecution. The internet's just not going to die. It's just now the government has another reason to arrest whoever they want, because you're already guilty of something.
It's easier than proving guilt on people who are actually doing something wrong, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not when, but if you go to jail now.
So, you're just talking about Netflix, and I just posted the link, but there's a great documentary out there called Terms and Conditions May Apply. And if you haven't watched it, it's a really good watch. But, you know, it basically goes through and it exposes what corporations and governments, how they're using their legalese within their terms and their conditions. And, you know, basically doing pretty much what we've all said from the beginning of this is taking everything from what you post about them to your data to, you know, sharing anything that doesn't apply does apply. Because, I mean, you can look at some of these, and I don't remember who it is, and I'm probably not going to quote it right, but one of the companies went as far as posting for one day that they owned your soul. And they got hundreds, thousands, I don't remember how many they got, but they got so many people. And in their terms and conditions that people agreed to, they had your soul.
Nice.
Yeah, but nobody reads that shit. Exactly. That's why they agreed to it.
And that's the point. You know, so much of this data mining.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah. Again, if you have, it's a great terms and conditions may apply. It's well worth, you know, it's an hour, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. But it's a good video to watch. But
that's the one where they keep animating all the legalese going across the screen over the company logo? Okay, yeah. I've seen that, yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but if it's the one I'm thinking is, it was worth the watch.
So, I mean, you know, taking that, you know, from what terms and conditions are, you know, for every company that has, I mean, every company has them anyways, but, you know, and then taking it now to the level that the government is, you know, it's there. We're there. It's all pretty much how much more can they grease it and shove it.
Yeah. Get the 50-gallon drum of lube. You're going to need it.
Gauging right now.
Here it is. Next story up is from softpedia.com. A list containing usernames and clear text passwords for more than 1,800 accounts of open world game Minecraft has been dumped into the public domain. It is unclear how the database was compromised, but it appears that some of the users impacted are from Germany. The publication also informs that the cyber criminals that made the credentials public also posted proof the accounts were valid. Apart from the fact that the login data can be used to download a full version of the game, it also works for playing on behalf of the rightful owner. Want to bet this is coming from a compromised server and not Minecraft itself being compromised?
Yeah.
Each leak of this kind, a more significant issue arises, that of password recycling. It is a well-known fact that many users rely on the same password to log into other accounts online. Cyber criminals are also aware of this insecure practice and often try signing credentials found in one leak for other online accounts. That's true. Most people do use the same password for everything, so when you figure out their password to their, you know, hobby forum, you've also got their banking and email credentials. But, yeah, it was funny because this story was posted with Minecraft hacked! Minecraft hacked! It's like, no, that's like a handful of servers got popped. That's not...
And since I can put up my own Minecraft server and let anyone log into it, they probably just put up their own server and then watched the logins.
There you go.
I have no doubt that is... That or compromised somebody else's.
I just find it funny. 1,800 accounts. It's like, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, out of how many Minecraft accounts?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
That's nothing on an MMO or any large game.
Yeah, it's like I said, I figure that's just a server or two got popped. So, last story up is from Engadget. We've seen nanobots do some pretty neat stuff. Aquatic dance routines come to mind. But them administering drugs inside of a living organism has been stuff of scientists' dreams. Researchers at the University of California, San Diego have recently made it a reality by successfully administering acid-powered zinc-based self-destructing micromotors inside of living mice. The ultra-tiny bots measured in at 20 micrometers long, roughly a human's hair width, and are tough enough to survive the harsh gastrointestinal environment autonomously. So, tiny motors running around inside a mouse gut. And they destroy themselves without leaving any trace of any harmful chemicals behind, and being self-propelled apparently was a factor in greatly improved tissue penetration and drug retention. So... they're not exactly robots. It's more a self-propelled motor made out of the drug. So they dropped it in the mice, and of course this caused the drug to activate, and the tiny self-propelled motor caused the chemical to spread throughout the mouse's system more quickly. That's cool. Kind of badass.
Pretty cool. So we're that much closer to completely filling a human body with anthrax and force.
Sure, why not? As the BBC points out, this would make them great for treating maladies like ulcers and other stomach disorders. The Trinon scientists admit there's still a long way before we see this tech outside of the lab, but they say that this represents a critical first step in getting there. In the meantime, they're wondering if... Oh, yeah, okay, they make a interspace joke. Whatever. But still, self-destructing nanobots in mice... Admittedly, when I first read the headline, I thought they were making the mice pop. But anyways.
Cool.
Still very cool. Now, I believe it's time for... What? That's the wrong... That's the wrong Digital Dojo sound effect. Where's the right one?
I don't know.
We're on the new recording box, so I may have misplaced something.
That's why.
Where is it? I've lost proper.
Just stop mashing buttons.
Yeah, that always ends well, doesn't it?
I don't know. Are you playing a paladin? Because you can headbutt a keyboard and successfully play a paladin.
Yes, you can.
Just remember to roll to the left a little bit. Oh, paladin.
There we go. All right. First thing I have up is Right. It's a GitHub project called SWAT-D. SWAT-D is a daemon for running scripts when your house gets raided by the police. Or broken into by criminals.
I love how that's a second thought in the quote there.
For example, if you use any kind of encryption, you can use SWAT-D to destroy the keys instead of hoping the police or criminals are stupid enough to unplug your computer. SWAT-D can also be used for more mundane things like sending out an email notification when a server goes down. SWAT-D lets you configure sensors that check your PC's external environment. When the enough sensors fail, SWAT-D will conclude that you are being raided and run the script you have configured. Sensors are commands or scripts that are repeatedly executed. A sensor fails if its exit code makes the transition from zero to non-zero. This makes configuration easy and powerful. For example, you can create a sensor that fails when your Wi-Fi network is out of range, and another that fails if your Ethernet cable is unplugged. And the guy updated the page since I first saw it this morning. Read this. While this software may have a place, I, the author, strongly do not recommend it. Frankly, when I saw the repository had over 500 stars on GitHub, I was shocked. Shocked, I say. I never intended this to be used so widely. If you need to rely on SWAT-D, you have already lost. He actually moved the code out of his repo and put it on a branch to make it harder to find. Anybody want to bet this guy got a happy fun time call from the government after posting it?
He got something.
Like, what do you mean you're helping people destroy evidence of a crime?
Apparently,
become an accessory after the fact to everything that happens from now on.
Yeah, he posted a big diatribe on the GitHub repo saying this was a joke. I thought by naming it this, people would see it for what it was. You shouldn't be relying on this. Please don't sue me. he didn't say that last part, but it was implied heavily.
You know what happened? He had a few beers last night, woke up, looked at it, went, oh, fuck, what have I done?
Like, oh, that went public.
Yeah.
Huh. Well,
apparently Barrett Brown didn't get a copy of it.
No, that I would say he did not. He did not. And the thing is, though, he's saying if enough commands fail, it runs your script, right? So I could actually see combining this with a couple of different things because, like, let's say you get an Arduino that's got some sensors on it, and you write a couple of custom Arduino code to run on this thing. You could actually have the sensors and that trigger. So maybe you've got a panic button, do up a Staples Easy button, and instead of setting off the bombs, it just, makes your computer nuke itself. I don't know. It'd be a fun movie. I could see this being a component in some other things, in all seriousness. But, he took it down. Apparently, doesn't want to be known as the guy who wrote the code that deletes evidence. So, anyways, next and final thing I've got for tonight is Intel has actually put up a piece of software called Critical Stack, and it's a free version of Stream Threat, Threat Intelligence, Threat Queue, that kind of stuff. So, most people probably don't know what this is. If you run an IDS, like, say, the Bro IDS, or you run a threat intelligence a sim, Alien Vault, or any other aggregator where you're generating rules based on what's going on the internet for different kinds of attacks and different kinds of, say, spam, you need to generate these rules fairly automatically because it's the only way to keep up. And there's a lot of paid services for populating these kinds of sensors on your network with these rules. And Intel just put out a free one that you can pretty much configure yourself. And I've got a post that the author actually posted to Reddit because the page for this thing isn't even complete yet. In short, the app grabs feeds from a lot of different sources and allows you to create collections. These collections hold the feeds you wish to subscribe to with an associated API key, and you can have as many collections as you want with different configurations. You then use the supplied API key to pull down the data to a sensor and parse it and do whatever you want with it. The command line app we built can keep the feeds updated and run in the background to keep them synced with the server. And it's intended to build data sets for keeping IDSs and SIMs updated. So, but there's it's pure API, so you could write whatever you want with this thing, with this data, right? And they've already got a bunch of pre-populated feeds for common threat sources. So if you run an IDS, this might be a way to keep your rule set up to date of servers, say, to blacklist, as an example. Or, you know, common malware attacks. So maybe you can use it signatures for loading into your firewall to block botnets. It's almost so generic, it's hard to describe examples for it. But it's a way of aggregating threat feeds into something you can program against, if that helps. I've lost everybody, haven't I?
No, I'm listening.
I'm listening, but yeah.
So
outside my room, bud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
same.
If you're in security, it's useful. You know what I'm talking about. That said, listen to the stream. Always working on it. Peer decking every Friday, sometimes Saturday. Lori has a bunch of shows. He does them various days throughout the week. Tuesdays and Fridays are fairly common. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit. And I can't really suggest TCP/IP via carrier Avian anymore. Somebody, Madman, excuse me, has been capturing the birds and eating them.
Hey, pigeons wrapped in bacon and smoked. Oh my God, they're delicious.
So that's all I got for tonight. I am out of bourbon.
Sadness.
Sad day.